Leviticus 1.
We'll spend an eternity on Leviticus
1. I know. The Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priests, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay wood in order upon the fire. And the priest Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar, to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And we talked last time that it seems weird, because of the use of the word in the New Testament, to have the burnt offering be an atonement. Because atonement in Christian circles these days normally means to satisfy the requirement of sin. The burnt offering isn't a sin offering. It's an acceptance offering. It's the purpose of time and space. We found out that the word atonement has two meanings, really one meaning, but it means to make satisfaction, either for offended justice or for a loving requirement. And so the sin and trespass offerings which Christ fulfilled are the atonement of offended justice. Cost you a life. Nothing of it was taken into the tabernacle. It was all dealt with outside. Now we have the requirement. Requirement here doesn't mean like, go get me a cup of coffee. Requirement means, if I take my shoe off and drop it, it falls. You understand that? The sun rises. The rising of the sun is the requirement of the process. Rain, water falls or rains from the sky. The rain is the requirement of the process. The requirement of time and space is the burnt offering. It's the only reason time and space were made. Everything else that you've ever studied, every aspect of life up until the time that Christ was accepted as a burnt offering, was meaningless. Now, all that has to come centered in you. As we talked about, you cannot ever be the sin offering. You cannot ever be the trespass offering. Christ is always those. But you must be the burnt offering in agreement with Christ. As he is in this world, so are we. And as you offer yourself without spot or blemish, without condition, then you become the burnt offering because you contain him. Amen? Mm-hmm. Now, you are now, when you can do that, then you are accepted as having satisfied God because of Jesus Christ.
In this context, what is a spot and a blemish? Is it just where you don't?
It's where
you consider yourself in any way, or
if there's any place in your life, in your being, that you think needs to change, yeah. It's a spot. It's a blemish. If there's any place in your life where you desire things to be different than they are, it's a spot. The garment is spotted by the flesh. If you cannot say right this instant, Father, I stand before you, perfect, holy, accepted, forgiven, and you can't be the burnt offering.
It's with that that predicate that you heard.
And that you go into the door of the tabernacle.
I'm thinking of it more in terms of walk through life. I'm thinking of this in terms of how we conduct our daily living.
The only expression of it is the abandonment of self, the taking no thought for self in any dimension.
Right. So whether you're an asshole or a saint, it's not even a question. You are just what you are.
An asshole can be a saint.
Gary proves it.
Larry proves it.
You wasn't doing nothing, man.
No, but that's an interesting word. I mean, you out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. You made the distinction between an asshole and a saint. All a saint is, it says, someone that says, Father, I'm yours, without condition. That makes him a saint, by definition.
Right.
Last night, the biggest arena, the battle with Lee, was that she thought she was an angel. The word angel, the one she remembered best from her childhood, was a third grade teacher who, quote unquote, saw the angel in her. Well, I showed her a picture of the only angels that are on earth. They're gargoyles. But it's the idea of these words, the component of the word, is what reveals the condition of your heart. You don't believe if you say there's a distinction between an asshole and a saint.
Well, that was my point, that it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter.
That whatever it is, because that is the way we think a lot of times, I gotta be good or bad. But it's just, we're out there.
We say, Father, I'm yours, without condition. That makes you a saint.
Yeah.
What you meant was between an asshole and what some people consider some other people.
Now the next, do you understand? Now you understand what atonement means and accepted means. You have a feeling of what is required. In order for you to be the burnt offering, there can be no consciousness of sin, no consciousness of trespass. Now the trek begins for the first time. Now you can say, you can walk through the door because you have accepted that he paid the penalty for all of it. Now, the next, that point is the, it's like the
miss. This is the highest of all everything.
It's the highest you can get.
Of all the other things.
It's the highest there is in the universe. Remember, we've talked, last week we studied extensively that all you've ever done, all the human race has ever done, is try to make a burnt offering. You've offered the wrong offering to the wrong place. But all you do is make the offering. How many times did you make an offering today? You know, I mean, you do it constantly. You're that little girl or little boy that's taking his some little dorky thing he made and saying, "Here, mommy," and she's, "That's dumb." That's the burnt offering. It's offered the wrong thing at the wrong place. God simply says, "I want your life." Then you've offered the right thing at the right place because you contain Him. Doesn't matter what the outside looks like.
You do all the other things, you make all the weird fake types of the sin offering and that stuff, just so you can get to this point. You think that's what you're, I mean, that's what you're working, that's the motivation behind all those other things, is so that you can make.
You're
good that this is the place that.
Yeah, your mind, the center core of your being was created to make a burnt offering. Of all human race, they've that's all they've tried to do in this metaphor. The only thing that the human race has ever done, the only thing you've ever done, is try to make the burnt offering. It's been your work, your life, your love, your career, your looks, your lack of looks, whatever it is, and you've made it to the wrong place, and you've made the wrong offering. But the core being, the driving force in your reality, has driven you from birth or from self-consciousness to make this burnt offering. You cannot have a sense of destiny, a sense of function and purpose, until you know you are the burnt offering.
That's just another case where everything is totally flip-flop, because we can't make a sin offering. We have to apprehend
His
that it's already been made. But the way that we work is we try and make the sin offering so that we get to this place, and then that makes us acceptable as a burnt offering. But here, we can be the burnt. It's just that everything is flip-flopped in this process with the way you emotionally and
yeah, because you think things. You think that you have to clean up your act before. You may not even know the words meaning. You think you have to clean up your act before you can do God stuff. That's what that is that produces the hypocrisy that is so rampant in religion.
So that motivation to be the burnt offering is just that thing that pushes you to grace more and more and more.
And more and more.
Yeah.
And it's like you, because you don't, you haven't apprehended Christ's trespass offering, you keep trying to change yourself. Why do you gaddest about so much to change yourself? Why trimmest thou thyself to change thy way?
This idea of destiny, you know, generally I've always thought of destiny as well, finally being established in your ministry or your purpose in life or your thing to do in life. But the thing to do is just to be what you are, and that's your destiny.
Yeah.
Is that simple?
And then the act of, and this is so important. It's this thing that Larry is seeing, that every time you have thought that you needed to change something about yourself, you may not even thought about it in terms of God. You just think, well, I need to change something. You're trying to make a trespass offer. Every time you wish you were someone else, you try to make a sin offering. Remember when you were little, you said, man, if I only were, you wish you were someone else, and you don't say, oh, I wish I was someone else, you say, I wish I had that person's body.
I wish I was grown up.
Or I wished I was grown up. Or I wish I had that person's looks. Or, well, that's you at that point trying to make a sin offering. Now, and you still do it, and it incenses me, because I see it all the time. Every time you think you want to change yourself a little bit, or you need to do something to make yourself different, then you're trying to make the trespass offering. Well, you can't do either one of those. God's already done them. So now you can, because he's done those two, you can make the burnt offering. I present myself a living sacrifice. Now the problem with a sacrifice is, the next point about the burnt offering, is it cost you your life.
Yes. Well, by the way,
seems like I realize.
But he is
that's a really that's an incredibly elegant catch-22.
Oh yeah, you can't get away from it once it's captured you. I mean, it's too late for the people in this room. There is, I guarantee you, and I'm sure you've tried. There's nowhere else that you could go.
The shower is even a little refuge.
That's
a getaway place
with
all
the house.
That was disgusting. 45
minutes.
He's trying
to wash
five times a day. Hurry, come on.
Reaching out, I'm gonna take a shower.
Now, even the idea of it costing you your life is such a tricky thing. I mean, so I'm not sure we've yet apprehended how simple it is. The thing about, well, we're going to study, there's two other acceptance offerings the meat offering and the peace offering. The three accept, I'm sure all of you can remember all this all the time, but there are five grades of offerings, and each one of those reveals a mystery of Christ. It cuts Jesus up into little pieces so that you can apprehend and see. There's the trespass offering, the sin offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, and the burnt offering. Now, sin, trespass offerings are not acceptance offerings. They're terrible offerings. They're for all of the sin of the world and the trespass of the world, and it's all done outside the camp. The other three are acceptance offerings. But the burnt offering is the only one that requires a life. The peace and the meal offering don't require a life. And what's tied in here? The peace and the meat offering are corn and oil and frankincense. Here, it's a life. A life. A given life.
So everything prior to the burnt offering, when you say, lay down your life, I mean, the burnt offering is where you get to really laying down your life. I mean,
amen. Everything else is getting ready to lay down your life. Mm-hmm. You can't give your life, therefore you can't pick up the cross until you apprehend the burnt offering. You cannot abandon yourself until you apprehend the burnt offering. Because, by definition, if you're hearing sin and trespass, then your eyes will automatically be focused back on yourself. Mm-hmm. You can't, it's like trying, you know, I keep trying not to think of a red cow. I mean, to try to abandon yourself, to try not to think of yourself is a contradiction of terms. It has to be something more basic. All the time for these 14 years that I've been preaching the cross to you has been to get us to this juncture. I mean, I knew it was impossible for you to pick up the cross. Why? Because you hadn't apprehended the sin offering, trespass offering. You're still trying to change yourselves. Are you seeing the mystery?
Yeah, when you're saying it's even a tricky thing, that's a tricky thing. The first thing that popped into my mind was how of refusing to be, refusing joy. It's the easiest thing for me to refuse to be in joy, to want a controversy, to want a situation, to be at rest, to refuse that thing. Another one of those convoluted things.
Amen.
It works, you know, my life, you know, here is to be at rest, and yet that is the very thing that I would struggle hardest.
Oh yeah, you get real nervous if you're at rest.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's too much time.
You don't think the spirit will be at rest.
You get real nervous if you're at rest.
Yeah. You make it a little late.
Life was always that part of creation. From the very beginning, which God claimed is His.
What? Life?
Life.
Life.
Life was always what was required. That's why in the first sacrifice, Cain's offering was not accepted. There was no life given. Cain. He was making an offering from that which was cursed, and there was no life given.
And yet it was available.
So. Yeah. Why is your countenance fallen? Know ye not that the sin offering lieth at the door? In the very beginning, the purpose, the time, the reason that existence exists is because God wanted a life. Now, you have to get very personal here. You have to see something. That's what it means. You can now understand what it means to be chosen. You are chosen by God. You didn't choose God. You'd be stupid to choose God. You are chosen by God. Now you can know why.
Jerry mentioned Cain as the first time I ever, you know, you said that a curse from the ground. I mean, I had always, I just thought about vegetables or something else. I never thought of it as Aben, you know, that he was trying to make an offering of his own labors, his own efforts. I just never saw that was Cain's offering. It wasn't just, you know, something from the field. It was from that which was
the
appropriated.
Earth. Appropriated from the earth. Okay. Remember we've talked before that on the two tables of the Ten Commandments there are four on one and six on the other. We're going to see as we go through this the connection that the burnt offering is the first four. It's the given life fulfills the first Decalogue, the first table of the Decalogue. The peace and the meal offering fulfill the second Decalogue. Now, the idea of a life that's wholly acceptable unto God. First of all, there had to be someone that met that requirement, and that was Jesus Christ. He met the requirement from the time he became a child of the law until his death. From the point of him being a child of the law, which we don't know when it occurred, because at that time there wasn't a bar mitzvah. It was when the rabbi said, now you're a child of the law. From that point until his crucifixion, he never once leaned on his own arm of understanding. Now, that's almost impossible for you and I to conceive. The scripture in the New Testament, when he says, now you are they which have continued with me in my temptation, has to have taken place in the point in the three-year cycle when the burnt offering was accepted, when those 12 disciples understood the burnt offering. Now, everything up until the burnt offering, all your treks from Egypt and the world all the way through the wilderness, all in your side trips, many side trips to Babylon. You've been in your own temptation. You've been fighting your own temptations and your own process. The given life at the point of the burnt offering defines a new order of thinking. Now you are they that continue with me in my temptation. You have one temptation, one only. Never to lean on your own arm of understanding in any matter. That's the temptation of Christ. Acknowledge him in all your ways. That doesn't mean to try to clean your own way. It means to acknowledge that he is in all your way. There's no way, there's no place where he isn't. Not that he wants you to be this way or he wants to be, that's bullshit. He is you. Up until now, it's Jesus Christ in you. Now it's him as you. And again, you gotta hear this. Otherwise, you'll be deceived, and the deception will take you right back outside the door. You'll have to go through You have to go make the dumb offering again of the trespass offering, or you have to go drink some water, or you have to go get ashes sprinkled on you, and. You don't lean once on your own arm of understanding. Faith now, for the first time, can enter your life. For the first time. Faith is impossible before the burnt offering. Everything up to the burnt offering is just to get you to recognize the vanity of life. At the burnt offering, faith is operative. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. The only thing that pleases him is the burnt offering. Now, faith says, in your practical day-to-day living, faith says, in every arena, in the smallest detail of your life, I need a pen. I look. I look in my surroundings because faith is never judged in what it doesn't have. And I have a pen. The fact that a pen existed in my reach based on the stimulus that I needed a pen was the answer of God. Yeah. Faith says, I need a pen. I look, I don't see a pen. So I talk in my surroundings, does anybody have a pen? A lot of people have pens, so somebody will give me a pen. Give me a pen. Take his so he can quit writing. Now, I have a pen. My prayer, which is simply the impulse which was there, is answered. It's answered through the brethren, or through my arena. Now we reach a point where faith says, I need a pen. I look in my surroundings, I have no pen. I speak it, there's no pen extant. I wait. Because I have spoken it, I now wait. My knee hurts, so I move my knee, and there's a pen. The stimulus for the pen comes from another source. It may be from somebody in Hong Kong. But you never again lean on your own arm of understanding, because at the burnt offering you have spoken, and whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. And this now is at the cost of your life. Faith says, I need something to eat. I hunger. There's no food. I wait. You understand? You never again build up that which has been destroyed, and so now you continue with him in his temptation. That's the essence of the change in your day-to-day living with regard to the burnt offering. Now, his word is on the line. Because for the first time in your life as a believer, for the first time in your life as a human, faith can be exercised. You've not yet exercised faith. Do you understand? Not once. You have never yet once exercised faith. You have done all kinds of Babylonian faith, which is soul power, generation of all the gimmicks. You've done all the things in Egypt, in the world, but there hasn't been no faith. That's why he says, when I come, shall I find faith? You understand me? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. But we're talking his faith from now on. The just shall live by his faith. Your faith is non-existent. That is the fruit of a given life. That is the final test in terms of whether or not you have laid your life down and your life has been given. Do you understand me? Everything else in you is intellectual, and it's meaningless. Now this is big stuff. You understand? I hope you understand what I've just said. That's what it means. And it costs you your life. Yeah. The reason then, the only way it costs you your life is for you to fully recognize in every single arena of your existence that it's not you that lives. The given life and the picking up of the cross is the simple transference of it's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. Now, we've heard that for 14 years. It's not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me, but I need to change this. Well, the reason it couldn't penetrate the mind is because you hadn't yet apprehended the trespass offering or the sin offering. Now you have. Now for me to live is Christ. No stupid little gimmicks, no programmed Christianity. The appreciation and the fullness of you, your uniqueness, tested in the arena for me to live as Christ. It's simplicity beyond simplicity. But the moment you say, I need to change this, and you've walked out the door, well, and grace better slap you alongside the head, because otherwise you walk away back to Babylon or Egypt. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody understand perfectly?
It's really quite simple. It's not a complicated.
It's perfect simplicity.
Yeah.
Perfect elegance. The next major difference in the burnt offering from all other offerings is that it's wholly, completely, totally burnt on the altar.
All the little innards and everything.
The kidneys, the colon,
hair.
The hair,
the asshole,
every aspect of it makes up the sweet savor. And the meat and peace offering, only part is burnt with fire. And the sin offering or trespass, it's wholly burnt, but it's not on the altar, it's outside the camp. Now, this now, all the other stuff I just said can make sense. Because every part is necessary. All the uniqueness and weirdness of you, it's exactly the way it should be.
The poop is burnt too.
Everything.
Some of it's washed before it's burned.
But now you've been washed
by
the Word. Now you are clean by the and Paul in Ephesians says that with the washing of water by the Word, that's what he was talking about. This, the fact now that there is no aspect of you Now, you see, here's where I'm going to get in big trouble. Because the priest's duty was to do the washing. The sacrifice didn't wash itself.
The bringer didn't.
The bringer of the sacrifice didn't wash the offering and stuff. The priest washed. The bringer of the offering is the one that had to kill it, though. The priest didn't kill it. You, in effect, have to commit psychic suicide. You have to kill yourself. You're the only one that can.
But you've known that since, I mean, I've known that since.
It's a voluntary suicide. That's
old.
Part of it, too.
There's no question.
Now.
What are you going to get in trouble with about washing
it? If you don't wash it
If it's not thoroughly washed, then the priest is at fault. I haven't ministered the word.
Yeah, it's interesting. The word, what is the word wash, but the inward man.
Yeah.
Got it?
Your job's to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's
man's duty to God is not in giving up one or little things that he may or may not do, but his entire life. The entire surrender of all. Now, that's nothing new. I've said that ever since I met you. But you've never understood it. Because you secretly believed that you had to change something. And I tried to secretly, unsecretly, make you think you had to change something. That was the trick.
Yeah.
Now you're home. There's nothing that you have to change. You present yourself as a living sacrifice, and you have to wield the knife. And as the sheep, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. We die all the day long. The sheep raised its head for the two-edged sword. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Every aspect of you, every being, part, portion. That's what that means.
Just to think self-effort, I mean, the thing that breaks you down more than anything, that struggle within is something to be just given up.
Despised.
I mean, self-effort. Something that hurts you more than anything else, that causes you more consternation. It's just so flipped.
Now, in order for you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, have to know this secret. This is one of the secrets of life. I talked about it Sunday night, and we talked about it a couple other times, briefly. But in English, the opposite of love is hate. In Hebrew, the opposite of love is apathy. So to love the Lord your God means no apathy. All that apathy is that you're not stimulated, you're boring.
Yeah, Paul was not apathetic towards God. I mean, he went for it all the way to be the Pharisee.
Amen. Heart, soul, and mind refer to the parts enumerated of the burnt offering. Somebody read Leviticus 1, 8, and 9.
His inwards and his legs shall be washed in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar, to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks,
no. Are you sure you're reading 8 and 9?
He started at 9.
No, 8 and 9.
Okay. And the priest,
Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head, the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall be washed in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire from a sweet savor unto the Lord.
Okay, now stop a minute. The head is enumerated. The head is obvious, the emblem of your thoughts. Now, you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ by recognizing they are all Christ's. So your thoughts are now accepted because they're burned on the offering as the head is burned. You understand? Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get by with any shit. I'm still going to yell at you to find out whether you believe it.
That's true.
I mean, doesn't do it. Untested holiness is garbage to God.
You'll not be apathetic towards
it. My job is to kick you between the legs to make sure you're not apathetic.
Can't we just sign a statement?
No. So your head, it's accepted. My only role is to test you to see whether you believe is accepted. Believe it is accepted. You got it?
Yeah.
The legs are the emblem of the walk. The conduct of your daily life, the activities. It's all accepted. There's nothing that you can do that isn't accepted.
You know, one of the things that I know that has worked out of being in body is this thing. I mean, God, the way He sets us up, that it's tested whether or not we believe towards God by the way we are towards each other. And if, you know, I can speak openly tonight because I feel accepted. But the test being whether or not I speak openly when I don't see the thing. And that's, I mean, it relates to how I am towards God.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the neatest things about being, I mean, you can't have that unless there's this kind of a relationship between us that is tested before your own eyes and
yeah.
before everybody else's, so that your faith is before God. So.
Now, the inwards are the feelings and affections and hormones. And the inwards are burnt also. That means they're fully accepted. That means even if you're psychotic, even if you're neurotic, even if you're amoral,
raise your hand.
No, it's all. Even if you have extremely active hormones, even if you don't think that you can be faithful to the one you love. Well, whatever it is, whatever your condition, whatever psychotic, neurotic, whatever hormonal condition you're in, whatever you lack, whatever you have, whatever is, whatever isn't, is accepted. Period. Never again to be tried to change, never again to be regretted. Because you've repented in the truest sense of the word. The repentance is you've given your life. Not to be regretted of ever again, not once. Not to be trying to change. Not to have anybody put a trip on you about it. Even me.
So I never heard of repented as retracted before, but you say repented, given, and it just struck me, you know, I mean, I think, I mean, it's always this other thing of when you retract it, you take it back and try to, that's repentance of the world. You take back that thing and you're trying to do something with it again instead of fully given.
Yeah.
Repentant is a different word.
Besides, you can't take it back anyway. And it's, what it is people think you can take it back, but it's, there it is. Yeah. What you're trying to do is cover up, obscure it somehow while it's still out there. But, you know.
Yeah.
You already laid out.
And then finally, what's offered on the altar is the fat. 1:9. Mm-hmm. What is the fat?
It's what you thought you kept for yourself.
It's the place where you thought you've been ministering to self.
You thought you had been?
Or you ever you thought fat is that which protects itself. It's what the body completes to protect itself when it thinks it's not going to get something in the future. And the body does it automatically. And diets don't work because the body, as long as it doesn't think it's... I mean, if the body doesn't think it's going to have something tomorrow, it's going to store stuff up for tomorrow. So all of the fat in the system is the place where you thought that you have been ministering to yourself. I don't think I've ever said that before.
Oh, yeah, you did. You mentioned the fact that we're being fattened up by our self-seeking, but it all ends up to be for God, so it's...
Now, all I'm saying to you, and hear me clearly, is every place in your life where you have thought that you've been ministering to yourself now is accepted. Because the fat is totally burned on the altar. This revolutionary stuff. It's grace.
What's an example of that? Like, how you've been ministering to yourself?
All the places where you can have been down about yourself, about the collecting of knowledge, the getting of knowledge, the thing that...
Collecting books.
Books, the thing... And
where to burn my books?
Right.
No. Somebody said
you thought it was for you, but it isn't.
You thought it was for you, but God...
I thought it was for you.
You understand?
Yeah, I see how that happens.
Think that he had done anything to me.
Yeah.
All those vegetables.
Yeah.
What certainly what you're saying about the fat, I thought about the parable of the talents and this guy that, you know, is basically he's hot when he takes what was given him, he invests it, and everything comes back, and it's still, it's given to the master, you know, in the end. But the ones who, you know, but being ungiving or so worried about it's going to be consumed by yourself, you don't give out anything.
You remember when I taught you about James? You ask and you receive not. Because, it says in James, because you ask to consume on your own lusts. That's not what it says. It says you ask and receive not because you think you will consume it on your own lusts.
You mean that's what it means?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know the fat is burned.
Because you don't know the fat is burned on the altar.
It's an eternal kind of thing. I mean, it goes beyond religion when you say those things, because that's the kind of way that people are doing that anyway. They're still responding to those very things.
Does everybody understand this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand the James verse now, which you never would explain to me.
He's explaining that.
Well, he does, just said it. Just explains it.
What you said?
The burnt offering.
There's a lot of stuff in the New Testament you can't understand until you understand the burnt offering.
Well, now I can relax.
You're such an ass.
The ass was burned.
Well, what's left of you now? We got the thoughts.
Not at all.
We got the limbs. We got the inwards. We got the fat. Is there anything left? Is there anything I missed?
Bones.
Marrow is burned. Hair is burned. Balls are burned. Mucus is burned.
Yeah.
Nothing is not burned. Nothing, then, is not a sweet savor. There is no part of you presented openly, given as a given life, that's not accepted and as a sweet savor to the Father. Why? Because for you to live no longer just is Christ, for you to live is as Christ. That's what it means to have the gold on the in and the out.
What's the difference between those two? I mean, even in...
For me to live is Christ?
Yeah.
Well, then you can have... You know, then
it's like an ideology.
That's something that there's no difference. The bottom line, but the way your mind hears it, it sounds totally revolutionary to say for me to live, if I live as Christ.
That's why I was wondering because it didn't.
One guy was crucified.
As Christ.
The other guy was crucified.
Now, in Jesus, these were all surrendered without spot or blemish. Do you know that the inwards contain the kidneys and the bladder and the colon? All that yucky stuff. We've talked in Bananas lately about what it means to me to keep thy foot when I go into the house of God. It means don't piss on your foot. Don't let that which has already been worked out affect your daily walk. Lest you offer the sacrifice of fools. The sacrifice of fools is the Dallas Cowboys. Who did they play last week?
Minnesota.
Yeah. The Dallas Cowboys and whoever their quarterback and team is after the game is over, they go and play another down and they make a touchdown on the down and therefore they think they won the game. The game is over and that they've continued on.
Yeah.
That's a sacrifice of fools. Now, every single time that you attempt to change your way or change your circumstances or lean on your own arm of understanding, you are offering the sacrifice of fools. You don't want to do that anymore. Now, had there been in Christ, had there been one affection in his heart which was not yielded, had there been one step not taken for God, had there been one thought which was not perfectly given to God, conscious or subconscious, he could not have been the burnt offering. They were all tested. As in us, in him. They were tested when he was in Egypt as a child. They were tested before he became a child of the law. And that's why no one ever teaches on the silent years of Christ, because it would blow their theologies. Now, he grew in grace and wisdom. He was a whole burnt offering to Yahweh. All was burnt. All was consumed on the altar. From the first, as a child of the Torah, he said, I must be about my Father's business. To the last, as one fully tested and fully offered, it is finished. That juncture, that difference between I must be about my Father's business and it is finished, is your track and the way in which he is totally the way from the door of the tabernacle to the mercy seat. Now, I don't expect you to run out tomorrow and fully comprehend and apprehend all of this, because we're now right at the door of the tabernacle. Now we have to make the trek through, over the burnt offering, into the laver, into the holy place, the candlesticks, the showbread, the altar of incense, through the veil, finally on the mercy seat. And that trek from the door to the mercy seat is the time in you when you can say, I must be about my Father's business until it's finished.
Wow.
This tonight, hopefully, is your bar mitzvah.
I'm not going to say it.
It's the beginning of your bar mitzvah.
We're probably not even in the foothills, and we're in the even tall grass.
The invitations haven't been ordered
yet.
The party
invitations have just been conceived of before they've even called.
Now, the understanding is now, from this point forward, there's no place for self. Every temptation, even the instant of that Satan's half second, the response is, I must be about my Father's business.
I can't believe the same. You know, it flies in the face of my of being separate, of having a private life. I mean, that's what it does more than anything else, is having a private kind of religion and relationship and righteous, you know, all those things.
It really isn't circumstances. It's this, you know, it's not in the realm of stuff anymore. It's all there.
There's no place for self. It's all his Father's work, his Father's will, or everything. He didn't know his Father's work and will any more than you do right now. All he knew was, I think nothing, it's my Father thinking. I do nothing, it's my Father in me that's doing. I speak nothing, it's my Father in me that's speaking. I think nothing, it's my Father in me that's thinking. Understand?
This first one thing in Leviticus where the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle, and the congregation was like, out of the tabernacle, he called unto Moses. If inward, not outward.
Amen.
That's what he called it.
Now I'm going to read you something. This is the last thing that Christ, one of the last things that Christ said to his disciples. John 17. Just listen, don't go up. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. This is the transformation when you go from the young man to the Father. Because the young man, I write unto you, young man, because you are strong. The word of God abideth continually in you, and you overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, fathers, because you see that you have been with him from before the beginning. Now, you can reproduce yourself. I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all are mine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that all they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Yeah.
No, that's enough.
Neat. The metaphor of the body, wow, the uncomely parts, and it works on all these different levels.
Yeah.
It's fine. All his body parts are thine.
Yeah. Here's part of it about sharing his joy, too, that I just, you know, that's coupled with that, you know, continuing with him and his suffering. And, you know, I didn't think about, you know, knowing his joy, you know, because I heard so much about the other part of it, you know, there's, but I don't know, there's just something.
Amen. Now you are standing, perfect, forgiven, holy, accepted. A sweet savor unto God. Do not ever again declare unclean that which God hath declared clean. Take it, big guy.
Yeah. Boy, all that stuff in John, I mean, he goes on and on about that kind of stuff.
Well,
it makes sense with the burnt offering.
A lot of stuff in there. Yeah. I can't understand unless you understand the burnt offering.
Probably
bunches and bunches.
I think this doesn't show up on the tape.
What?
See, the way you can make sure something does show up on the tape is to say,
Harry?
I'll bet this won't be on the tape. Because I get a kick out of leaving things on that say that, so that then somebody, when they hear that, they say, oh, that's pretty funny. Like, for instance, what I'm saying right now will be on the tape.
Anything Harry says is on the tape. In fact, the tapes are going out. No. It says, anybody that gets the tapes out, like wherever, they think that my voice is Harry's voice.
It says Harry gets locked on that.
That's true. And then it's determined by Harry.
Oh, they think the big guy is Harry. You said, take it, big guy. Yeah. Thank you.
That's still mind-blowing that Christ's last prayer was for his disciples. I mean, I don't know if Christ's prayer, but it's
You know,